People all around the world today are looking for a means whereby they can justify their sin. People are trying to create churches and flock to churches and hang around people and listen to people who become extremely popular when they water down sin. Someone said to me one time, a weak theology always leads to a weak lifestyle. A weak theology gives you permission to live any way you want to. And if you can get a preacher or a clergyman or a bishop or someone who's in the ranks of the religious elite to justify, to say to you that it's okay to do what you're doing and to set themselves up higher than the law of God, you've got it made.
It's time for the Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. I hope you'll open your hearts and Bibles with us. Well, today we began this unique message series from 2 Chronicles with Dr. Don Wilton. Today you'll hear the conclusion of staying the hand of God, understanding that God is a loving God, but a just God. And there are situations and circumstances in our life where there are consequences that should happen, but you know what? God sometimes holds those consequences off, diverts even those results so that He chooses to bless us. We'll hear more about that from Dr. Wilton in just a minute, but perhaps there's a situation or circumstance we could pray you through right now. Won't you give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Here's Dr. Wilton.
Adam and Eve, His hand was on them. They lived in the Garden of Eden. They were perfect. They sinned. God took His hand off. Said, you're out. Then God gave to them His plan for their redemption. And He has done that through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. When God takes His hand off you, you cannot live. You might survive in this life, but you won't live in Him. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. You don't give your life to Christ, God's hand's not on you. His omnipotent, powerful, loving, gracious hand. And so it is with nations. The story of Israel is our story. When nations live for God, they live lives, they operate according to God's precepts and principles. You cannot murder millions of babies through abortion and think God's just going to turn a blind eye. In Florida alone, this past year, 65,000 abortions officially reported. Babies murdered. Now, what does God say about life and about the sanctity of life? Not what do we say, or what does Roe v. Wade say, or what does the Supreme Court say, or what do people say, or what's the public opinion, or what's politically correct? What does God say? I'm just talking about one issue. The story of Israel is very clear. Everything about Israel, and when you get to this point in time where the kingdom begins to collapse, there are things that can be said about Israel at this point in time, the time of Hezekiah, that are unequivocal. And post, when his son, we haven't even got there, but when his son gets into power, it gets even worse. You talk about an exile. No wonder they're going to be cast into exile in Babylon. No wonder they're going to be dispersed across the universe. No wonder their land is going to be given to foreigners. No wonder they're going to be owned by everybody else. Everything about God was under attack when it came to Israel. Number one, they rejected the very name of God. God's name is holy. God made that very clear from the beginning. Be very careful what it is that you do regarding my name. Because it's at my name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. I might have mentioned just a week ago, preaching at Genesis, the most popular phrase even among our Christian young people today is OMG. And I'm hearing young people say OMG, and OMG stands for short, oh my God. And even Christian young people today are trying to get around the issue of desecrating the name of God by just simply saying OMG. It's not just what we speak, it's what we believe. These people rejected the very name of God. They rejected the very word of God. God spoke to Israel. Time without number, he said, this is the way, walk in it. And I've given you my word. And they said, we will not accept your word. Does God, through his word, have anything to say about the manner with which we conduct ourselves, our lives, our speech, our attitude, our heart? Does God have anything to say about marriage? Does he have anything to say about business? Does God have anything to say about worship? Does God have anything to say through his word about us? Oh, yes, he does. Israel rejected the very word of God, but they also rejected the very people of God. This passage makes it very clear. Even when God spoke and the king came and he presented the facts to them and he begged them, there were those that scoffed at the people of God. I've made this statement before and I will make it again. We're facing a presidential election in 2 years in the United States of America. This, the greatest nation that has ever existed, this beautiful land, from sea to shining sea, this place that has been so blessed, where God has poured out his blessings upon us in every regard. I should imagine that in the next several years, who knows, with all that goes on in our world, is it possible that a Muslim could be elected president of the United States? I dare say if somebody who ran for president in this country stood up and made a statement that they were an atheist, they could be elected president of the United States. An agnostic? I wouldn't be surprised if a Buddhist could get elected president of the United States. I wouldn't be surprised if an out-and-out pagan could be elected president of the United States. But if a man or woman were to run in this nation and were to stand on the platforms and go before the microphones and say, I want to be president and I will be president to all the people in this great nation. But I want you to know that I am a born again believer. I fear in my heart that in this beautiful nation, that person has just declared themselves unelectable in these United States of America. That's what Israel did. They rejected the people of God. You better not anymore in this country claim to know Christ or to be a Christ follower and think you're going to get elected to something. They rejected the very worship of God. How pathetically unpopular it became that the people would go to the temple. How rapidly everything else became important. So what was Hezekiah doing? God was demonstrating to the people of Israel that he was removing his hand from them. And the enemy began to arrive at their front door. This is the story. They were no longer safe in their own homes. They became a nation encompassed by bandits and mall shootings. They sought shelter and they found nowhere to go. Their economic system began to plunge into chaos. Their healthcare system was torn to shreds. Their infrastructure began to break down. Their word was no longer considered their word, and they met at the tables of kings, and nobody believed what they would say. And God began to disperse them as a nation and divide them from amongst themselves. And Hezekiah arrived, this God-fearing man. And the Bible tells us that he begged them to do four things. Number one, he begged them to remember God's proven record. That's what verse 6 is. And verse 7. Hezekiah basically got up and he said, "People of Israel, let's come together. Let's return to the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Let's remember the Lord our God. Let's just gather together. Let's not forget." How easy it is to forget and move on. How easy it is for you, O Israel, to all of a sudden no longer take into consideration that God raised you up and that he put his hand upon you and that he poured out food from heaven and he gave you water from a rock and he protected you from the enemy and he gave you one victory after another and he inhabited you to the point at which you rose up to mightiness and greatness in the eyes of God. Remember the Lord your God. It is God in whom you trust. Hezekiah begged them to remember God's proven record. He begged them to reject their unfaithful examples. This is a staggering statement where he says here, don't be like your fathers. Do not be stiff-necked like them. Don't follow the bad example of those who have become your idols and your heroes. And if someone is living outside of all that God demands of them, reject their way and stand up straight for the Lord your God. Break the cycle. Just recently, I had the privilege of speaking extensively to a man in his 40s. So encumbered by alcohol and alcoholism, just had him in its grip. And in a conversation that I had with him as I'm tried to help him because he called me in, and I recognized just how difficult these things are. He kept making the statement, "Just want you to know that my daddy was an alcoholic and I grew up with this and I've inherited my father's genes. And this is what was shown to me and taught to me. And my dad was the greatest man. But when he got drunk, he would cuss out my mother and he would beat her up. And then he would repent the next day. And I just find myself, I'm caught up in the same thing as my father was." And I looked at him and I said to him, "My dear friend, I don't believe this is easy, but by the grace of God, but break the cycle. Break the cycle. Ask God to put his hand upon you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we reject the cycle that you've been brought up in. Break the cycle. Claim God's power." That's what Hezekiah was doing. Why have we become a nation looking toward pagan heroes? Why is it that we become a nation of pagan heroes? Where we're listening to everybody accepting God. Why? Hezekiah begged them to remember God's proven record and begged them to reject their unfaithful examples. And he begged them, number three, to return to their original commitment. He begged them, he said, "Come to his sanctuary."
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and there's more to come as we look ahead and rejoice in the promised future. Often, Dr. Wilton reminds us the best is yet to be, but it is as we submit to Christ in fresh new ways. The deeper we follow Christ, the more we extend our submission to him, boy, our lives get changed for the better. I pray that you would know that we interrupt for this moment just to let you know we're available. It's not just a presentation, it's a conversation. You can talk right now with one of us, happy to pray you through what your next steps are at 866-899-WORD. Are you sitting in a situation where you're not sure about what that promised future is? Let us pray with you about it. 866-899-9673 is our phone number. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. We're here 24 hours a day to take your call. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And though we love these podcasts and broadcasts that we share with you every day, sometimes a written word would be a great blessing. And if you haven't signed up, you can right now. Sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word with Dr. Wilton. You can either sign up online at theencouragingword.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll be ready to go. That's text the word DAILY to 30500. We'd love to make sure that bit of encouragement is in your email box in 24 hours. Now let's get back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, you and I look at that and I think of church. I think it was a lot more than saying come. That little word sanctuary, what he was saying is, come under the hand protection of a gracious and loving God. Bring yourself back under God's gracious hand. Come to his sanctuary, the temple of his grace. Come back home like the prodigal son. Come to your senses. Look to your father's house. And see the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God who loves you and the God who has not abandoned you. Come back to his sanctuary. And then Hezekiah begged them, number four, to rejoice in their promised future. You know, I love that verse 9. If you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you. Friends, God has not abandoned us. He's calling us to himself. And for you individually, God has not abandoned you. He's calling you to come back. So Hezekiah had a four-step solution to Israel's problems. Step number one. Turn. Here's Israel, and they're on a slippery slope. They are headed downhill. And I'm speaking to someone today personally. You are headed downhill. Whatever it was you were doing last night was not of the Lord, was it? Your heart is not where it needs to be. Are you happy? Are you happy at the thought that potentially on your current track that you could split your whole family up? What are you going to tell your sons and daughters when it happens? Dad, what are you going to say to your children? Do you really think a few moments of pleasure is going to make you happy for the rest of your life? You really think so? You want me to give you a picture of you 20 years from now? You wait. When we study Israel, picture's not good from this point. Four-step solution. Number one, turn. That's the word repent. That's what the prodigal son did. That's what God's word says, repent. Turn back, turn around, go back. Confess to him. I tell you, it's a beautiful picture. All right, step two, submit. Isn't that a battle that we have? We don't want to submit to the Lord. We don't want to say, Lord, whatever it is you do and whatever it is you say, that's what we will do. We don't want to do that because we become the kings of our own castles. We become the center of our own universe. Doesn't suit us. There's no way we want to submit to the lordship of Christ. And that's what Hezekiah was telling. He was saying, turn, stop where you're going, turn around. Submit to the Lord. Number three, come to his sanctuary. There's an incredible picture here. You know, it's one thing to turn and another thing to submit, but it's another thing to get up and come to where you need to be. That's what he says in this passage. Come to the sanctuary. Come to the protective hand of God. And then number four, and I love this, believe. That's what verse 9 is. Just believe. You know my favorite verses? Can I give you my favorite verse in this whole section? Yeah, it's actually in chapter 32, and I didn't even preach on it. But I'd like you to look at it. Chapter 32 and verse 7. Love, chapter 32 and verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. I love that. That's believing. Here's the word I want to give you today. Do you have God's hand on you? If you don't have God's hand on you, turn back to him. Submit to him. Come to him. And believe in him. I'm going to give you a biblical promise. There is a very bright tomorrow. I promise you on God's authority, God will restore you. He'll lift you up. He'll bring the joy back into your heart. He'll heal your marriage. He'll enable you to be able to face the hurdles. He doesn't just do away with challenges. He helps us to overcome those challenges. God will do it. Believe. Just believe. Be strong. Be courageous. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? We come back to the Lord. God hasn't gone anywhere. Does God seem farther away? Well, who do you think moved? You know, when you and I look at our own lives, when I look at my life, you look at, aren't our lives just a pattern of this? Like the children of Israel? I want to invite you today, make a decision to come back to him. And I'm going to ask you today to come, to turn your life over to him. Turn, submit, come, believe. God is on his throne, staying the hand of God. Lord, please, don't remove your hand from me. Lord, please put your hand back on me. Just put your hand on me. Your hand of grace and mercy and protection and love. He'll do it. And some of you might look at me today and say, Pastor, but man, did I sin against the Lord? Have you turned, submitted, come and believed? Have you told the Lord, it's gone, guy. It's over. It's gone. You got to claim the victory, man. You know, we're the ones that have the problem. We kind of believe in kicking our wounded. Not around here. We don't kick wounded people. God doesn't. God doesn't say, I'm going to forgive you and kick you around for the rest of your life. He says, I'll take your sin, cast it as far as the east is from the west. You got to stand up, man. Claim it. Claim his power. You got to look up. You got to believe. You got to do it God's way, not your way. Watch what he does. So I'm inviting you today, give your life to Christ. I'm inviting you to surrender your life. I'm inviting you to be encouraged. I'm inviting you to recommit your life to Christ. The whole ball of wax. I'm inviting you to do whatever it is you need to do. But whatever you do, do you have the hand of God on you? You got God's hand on you? Are you sure about that? Make sure today.
The invitation is clear. It's plain. And Dr. Wilton is expressing what we all feel. God is using this moment for you to change your life forever by saying yes to him. Would you like to speak to someone about it? Give us a call right now at 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. We'll connect with one of us, anxious to pray with you and for you. And before we go, here's a closing thought from Dr. Wilton.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together. Because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Perhaps you've been listening all week, or this is the first time you've been hearing Dr. Don Wilton's messages. But today you've heard more than his wonderful South African brogue. You've heard the voice of God remind you that you are loved and he has sent his son Christ to die for you. Won't you pick up the phone and let us talk with you about what the next steps are? For some of you, you're just ready to give your heart to Jesus. Call us, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us. Happy to talk and pray with you. That's 866-899-9673. Maybe there are questions you have. Let's discover them together in God's encouraging word. And speaking of the encouraging word, many of you are encouraging us in your prayer and financial support. If you're curious on how that happens, here's Dr. Don.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Don, I'm a prisoner here in North Carolina, and I've been listening to your preaching on the radio broadcast each morning for quite some time now. I really wanted to write you to let you know what a blessing you have been to me. Hearing you preach the Word of God and how you love the Lord Jesus Christ has just truly touched my heart more than I could ever express. I'm 42 years old, and I was brought up in church and have always had a deep love for Jesus Christ. I was saved at a young age, but got on the wrong path that caused me such heartache and sorrow. I've been through pancreatic cancer and a lot of health issues, but the Lord has blessed me to live and to be healed. I know in my heart, He has called me for a purpose to serve Him, and I will be getting released in just a few more years. And my dream is to get into the ministry for Jesus Christ and to live for Him the rest of my life. When I hear you preach and teach, it just touches my heart so deeply, and I want to be able to meet you in person one day, and I look forward to hearing you on the radio each and every day.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We would love to hear from you, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad, and I thank God for your ministry.